Rita Black is a clinical hypnotherapist and leading expert in both the arenas of smoking cessation and weight loss. She's the author of the best-selling From Fat to Thin Thinking, Unlock Your Mind for Permanent Weight Loss, and she's the host of the Thin Thinking podcast. Rita came on my program, my podcast, last June, and we had an amazing conversation. We learned about her backstory, how she got into hypnosis or being a clinical hypnotherapist, how she had a previous job of script writing, and she got hypnosis and it stopped in one session her from smoking another cigarette. So that was an amazing story. And because hypnosis helped her so much, she wanted to learn it and help other people with it. So it's a great story about changing careers and doing something you love. But I also wanted to have her back because she has a free masterclass that is actually focused on weight loss. And she is getting ready to give that. So I wanted to have her back, first of all, to replay our conversation from last June, because it was so good. I re-listened to it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And then I wanted her to give an update and share what this masterclass is all about, so you can take advantage if you're interested. It's something that you'd benefit from if weight loss is something that you desire to do and something you've been struggling with. She's helped so many people stop the pattern of yo-yo dieting and losing weight and gaining it back. Once you go through hypnosis, from what I hear, it's a done deal. And you basically change how you think about yourself and change the patterns that you've fallen into for so much of your life. This is part one of the episode that Rita and I recorded back in June of 2023. That is so amazing.
Today's guest is Rita Black. Rita is a clinical hypnotherapist and leading expert in the fields of smoking cessation and weight loss. Rita and I really connected, and we talked to the same people, helped the same age person. And she does something really special. It's through the world of hypnosis. The crazy thing, too, is that Rita is exactly what I hope you can do, is get sparked in your second half. Rita is enjoying a second career. She talks about what she did prior to this career, which is completely different. And I love these stories. So, of course, when I met her, I thought she'd be a perfect guest. I had been doing a few episodes that did not involve interviews. So I was really excited to start interviewing people again. And she was one of, I think, the first interviews I did after several weeks of not doing interviews. And it just reignited in me this desire to reach out to people like Rita and share their stories with you. And she's helping so many people. And it's through her own journey that she discovered this, which is all the more reason to share it with you. So if you've had something in your past that has literally changed really the path forward and the trajectory of where you've gone in your life, it really is a clue maybe that you have something of value, some wisdom that could help somebody else in some specific way. And it really did change the trajectory of Rita's life. And so I can't wait to introduce you to her and see if you need help in either of the areas that she is an expert in, because she can truly shift things in a very deep way in one short session, because it happened to her. So let's get to the interview now.
Welcome to another episode of Living Your Sparked Second Half. It's really exciting to have someone back on the program. And this is somebody who I met recently at a leadership event. So it is Rita Black. Welcome.
Hello, Lori. I'm really happy. Thank you. I'm honored that I'm the first one in a while that you've had back on.
Yes.
Great to see you.
Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to be picky about who I have on. And I really want people that fit the very sparked and what they're doing category, but also have a program or something that would really help the people who listen to my program. And so it's kind of a twofold thing. So, and you fit both categories.
Well, and as we get sparked and sparkter, we decide we become more discerning, right? We know more what we want and get clearer. So I'm totally in alignment with that.
Well, it's funny too, because I say this all the time, but then you forget about it happening to you. But the more sparked you get, the more that energy you put out attracts the right people.
Exactly. I think that's so true.
So why don't you tell the listeners what you do and how you help people?
Oh, okay. Thank you. So I am a clinical hypnotherapist, and my jam is smoking cessation and weight management. And primarily because those were two things that hypnosis helped me with. I was a pack and a half a day smoker. I also struggled with my weight desperately up and down the scale, 40 pounds for over, you know, and over two decades. And I was able to stop smoking in one session with hypnosis after struggling for years and years and years. And the light bulb went off in my head. I was like, wow, because I thought hypnosis was kind of woo-woo, you know, like, and at the time, I mean, I do live in Los Angeles, California. So you know, I'm aligned with the woo-woo, but I am not a crystal shaken mama. I'm a practical person. When my friend stopped smoking with hypnosis, I was like, you let somebody control your brain. You let somebody, like, I'm never going to do that. But it was so easy for her. I was like, well, maybe there's something to this. And I went and I got hypnotized, and it was such a cool process, and it wasn't scary like I thought it was. And it wasn't, I felt in control, and it is, it's true. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. You are in control of the situation. You're never giving up control. You're more in control because you have access to your subconscious mind. But anyway, so I became a non-smoker, and I said, maybe I can help myself with my weight management somehow, because I'd been a chronic dieter up and down, had bulimia, like I was a mess. And I really used hypnosis to create a really more powerful relationship with myself, get rid of limiting beliefs. Because there's so, with weight, there's just so many identity, limiting beliefs, bad habits, and all of that is subconscious mind stuff that needs to get worked through, or else you just keep going on diets. And that's a conscious mind thing. So
yeah, it's funny you should say that, because it makes me think of one of my students who was overweight and wanted to lose weight, but she is Italian, and her identity was around kitchen, you know, wine. I can't remember, you know, she drank wine while she ate, but I know when I like to cook spaghetti, I like to drink wine. And so her whole identity was around this Italian food and the people and the company. And she felt like she saw diets as restrictive, and like, I can't eat the things that define me. And so that is so interesting. You should say that, because we did identity work, and you should see her now. She looks amazing.
Really?
Yeah, she looks amazing.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good for you for noticing that, and because a lot of people struggle with not only their identity, like being from a family of like Italian or Greek, or, you know, this is my culture, but also just the family, the emotions, all of that is in the subconscious mind. So good for you for pointing that out.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You said you had bulimia and eating disorders. I mean, those are hard to shake.
They are. I got lucky because I had a mentor help me through the bulimia piece. And I was not I mean, some people dive deep into bulimia, and I skirted around it. So I was fortunately not, you know, I think people can get into it and then be in that binge restrictive cycle for years. And I went through it. It was a phase I went through. And then I just said, well, look, if I eat it, I own it. And so then I continued on my journey as struggling, but every piece is about taking ownership with yourself and communicating with yourself in a different way. And I think the way the dieting industry has, and I don't want to say the dieting industry is evil, but the way our human brain and our human psyche and the dieting industry, which is very focused on external structures, like a diet is an external structure that you go on.
Yes.
And then we get into this being good on it, being bad on it. Then we give up because we're never going to be perfect on something. And then we say, well, screw it, I'll start again on Monday. And then what has been my experience and the experience of most of the people I work with is you give up and then you eat a ton more than you probably would have. You know, if you eat a piece of pizza and it's like, well, I blew it. The piece of pizza wasn't going to do anything, but the five other pieces of pizza, plus then, the bagel the next morning and all the things you eat before you decide to be good on Monday again, that is where the damage, and that becomes a habit. And people have it. There's an epidemic of what I call starting over again. And I think that it just goes back to the diet industry and this focusing outside of yourself rather than really the internal communication of what happens in that moment, having compassion, like, okay, you ate a piece of pizza. We can figure that out. Let's work through this. And starting to really stick with yourself. I call it bridge moments where you cross over the bridge from one piece. And in business, Lori, because I know we're both in the world of helping people online, I had to have so many of those bridge moments. It really is learning how to converse with yourself in a powerful way, becoming a hypnotherapist and getting into that, and then getting into that career, and then transitioning into taking all of my two processes and putting them online. That was my second half spark. I mean, I can't do this. I have no technical capabilities. It was hard enough for me. I started my practice when it was cassette tapes. You would record cassette tapes.
And did you become a hypnotherapist because of how it helped you?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. I went to school and studied to become a hypnotherapist because before that I was not a hypnotherapist. I worked with my husband. We were writers together. I was working for Hollywood.
Oh, that's right. I remember you said that you were a script writer.
Yeah. And so I was lost. I had a good career with Hollywood, but Hollywood was not for me. And I every day I woke up and I was like, please let me find a career that can help me make a difference with people. I literally was trying to manifest something bigger than writing scripts, which was, creative. It was fun. And, like I said, we did well, but I couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. And it was very scary to leave that. You think, oh, well, let me go. Cause working for Hollywood isn't the most stable career, I guess you'd say. You're hot one minute, you're not the next. And then, oh, well, let me choose hypnotherapy. That seems a lot more stable. It's like,
well, and also I would say being a Hollywood script writer is really an interesting dinner conversation. Like, or just like when you go to parties, people are interested. They want to hear. Although if you're around those other people, I don't know how interested they are.
Yeah. I mean, most of the parties I went to, everybody else was a script writer too. So so when I became a hypnotherapist, that was like, really? Are you going to make me bark like a dog? You heard all the...
Well, I've been to a Vegas show where they've hypnotized people. And I know that's like the stage kind of thing. When I think of hypnotists a lot, I think of regression, life regression, past life regression.
Yeah. And that never was, how they say to focus on something and really become, because people ask me all the time, because when you help somebody lose weight, and not just lose weight, but lose weight long-term, or you help somebody stop smoking when they've been smoking for 30, 40 years in one session, people do give you, they think, wow, you're magical. You can do this. And it's not me. I'm really clear that the human brain is very capable of transforming itself in a second. We've all had those experiences of, whoa, you just kind of have a 360 in an instant. And I just feel like I help facilitate that for people because they're ready. Because so people will call me and say, well, can you, make my husband quit smoking? I was like, well, does he want to? And they're like, no, but you'll make him, right? I was like, no, I can't. He's got to want it.
That's interesting.
And
yes.
Yeah.
That's such a good point.
Yeah. And I have a joke. I say, you know, my husband is a kind of a messy person and he leaves his socks all over the place. I said, if I could really make you do whatever I wanted you to do, I could make my husband pick up his socks. And I've been married to him for 33 years. He still leaves his socks all over the floor. And now I'm working on my son who does the exact same thing. So I'm like, I think I'm powerless, but I've got a lot of powers when the person really, and it isn't me who's powerful. I'm just good at helping people get to the other side of what they need to do. And I use hypnosis, meditation, coaching, you know, to help get them there. So I specialized because those were the two journeys I went on. And those are the two journeys I'm passionate about. And so I will refer people will say, that's what I was going to say. Like when they think, oh my gosh, you helped so-and-so and they were, you can make me do this. I was like, yeah, no, I, that's not what I do, but I can refer you to somebody else, you know, like sleep or, you know, I can do that, but I'm not, you know, that's not my authority. I'm an authority with smoking cessation. I am authority with weight management, but those other things I can dabble in, but I really feel like it's like being a doctor. You really have to kind of choose your specialty and double down on it.
Oh, that's another good tidbit. Didn't know that. But isn't it interesting how you wanted something different and you're asking the universe to like give you something that you could be passionate about? And did you ever think, that's why I say you never know where you're going to find your passion and your purpose, because you probably never in a million years thought, oh, because I smoke, you know, or because I, you know,
yeah.
that's what never. I need is this hypnotist. And oh, by the way, I'm going to become one. That's the furthest thing from your mind.
Yeah. And it really was not in. Yeah. That was the furthest thing from my, you know, I, when I was like 21, I went to a psychic, you know, and again, I'm not somebody who goes and gets my palm read and psych, but my best friend went and the psychic was good. It was very interesting. I had a different friend who went to her and she said, honey, this was in New York. Cause I lived in New York at the time. She was like, honey, you got to leave here and you got to go to the hospital and you got to get an x-ray and you've got to get taken care of because there's something wrong with you. And this woman was, you know, 24 years old. She looked fine, everything. So she went and she had Hodgkin's lymphoma. Like she like, literally. So after that, I was like,
arms.
I know, wasn't that crazy? So when I went and saw
this was your friend.
Like, this was a friend of mine. And then a friend through a friend. And so my other friend said, let's go see her. And her name was Lorraine. And she was on the Upper West Side because I lived in Manhattan at the time. And she was a lot of money. Like for me at the time, I was like a student getting out. And she looked at me and she's like, okay. She's like, you're going to do some stuff and it's going to be fine. But it's not going to hold you. You know, you're going to do good. You're going to be good at what you do. But she's like, you're going to do something. And it's really about helping transform people, but it's not in the way you want. Because at the time I was creative and I wanted to do other things. And she was like, oh no, it's not that stuff you're into right now. It's going to be something else. I was like, no. And she's like, oh yeah. And she's like, and you're going to deny it for a little while. You're going to deny it. But once you accept it, they're not going to be able to shut you up about it. So I was like that. And then I forgot about it. I went and lived my life. And then, I mean, she predicted that I would meet my husband that year. And I did. And she told me I would have two children. And I did. And it was interesting because my second pregnancy, I had twins, but one of them didn't, you know, like it didn't make it past the whatever point, the 16 week point. So I ended up having my son. I didn't have twins. You know, it was just like these weird things. Like she was like, and she was like, you will marry this man. She was just like, oh yeah, you're going to marry the man that you meet this year, you know, very offhanded in this like kind of New York. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. And then at the end of the interview, I was like, well, am I going to have children? She's like, oh yeah, too. But you know, not right now, much later in life. And she was right. Cause I didn't have my first child till I was 37. So it was so odd, but it was just like one of those.
That is
very
such a
amazing...
great story. I love that kind of stuff. Not woo woo, but you went and saw a psychic. That's so cool.
I know I did. And I have that cassette tape and I listened to it maybe 10 years ago after I, you know, cause I've been a hypnotherapist for 20 years and I was like, oh my God, she nailed it. And, but I'd totally forgotten about it. Maybe it was all, maybe she conditioned me subconsciously for this all to happen. That's why I don't go to psychics, because I'm like, I don't know. But so anyway,
that's amazing. Yeah. And so you talked about technology and your challenges. And one thing that I would like you to share is how, I don't know if that held you back or what you did to overcome it. Clearly you've overcome it, but you were saying, or I think you said in your notes you gave me, is you were 53 when you moved from offline to online work.
Yes. Yeah. So that is an interesting story. I mean, maybe it's interesting, but I am a clinical hypnotherapist. So I still do see clients, but I see a lot fewer clients because there was a certain point I wrote a book about my weight management process. And that's when I went to James, you know, the same person that we go to. And
same coach.
I was the same coach, but there was a point where I was like, okay, and maybe this is a point that your clients are thinking about or your audience is thinking about, and maybe you too, Lori, is that here I am, I'm in my early 50s, and I've got a good life. Like, I've got a career, I've got a booked practice, I'm respected in my community, I have two children I'm very blessed, you know, lovely children. And so life is good, but I was like, I want to take this bigger. I want to take it because I wanted to make a difference, more of a difference. I really just felt called. I felt like just like that same reason when I was waking up and I, you know, had this Hollywood career, but I was like, it's not right. It's not enough. It's not what I want. And then, so I got that yearning feeling again, but there was a big hiccup, which was in order to go online, I would have to be one face front, meaning I would have to come out of hiding. I have a lovely little office on Wilshire Boulevard. And, you know, I don't practice out of my home. I have a nice little office where people come. It's very cozy.
You're not on social media going selfie.
I'm not. And I put on a suit, I wear makeup, but I, you know, the idea of like pictures and being on camera and that, all that stuff is like, yes. No. And then technology, because I knew I was going to have to do things like record and
create a landing page,
create a landing page and invite people in to, you know, enroll, which seemed marketing, you know, and I was used to marketing because you have to market yourself to a certain degree in order to have a practice, but like not like that. And so I was talking to somebody not long ago where I was just like, I didn't want to claim my authority, you know, like I was happy to have people come to me and be referred to me, but I didn't want to stand and say, I represent this. Like, I want to help you and I want to own this space, you know, I don't mean
to
the exclusion of other people.
So we look for excuses to avoid the thing that, are afraid of.
And so I spent a year, I created a mantra. I'm very into mantras just to help condition the subconscious mind. And my mantra for that year was, I am moving in the direction of becoming a master of technology, because it was really re-identifying myself, you know, like we were talking earlier before we hit record about identity and how powerful it is. And I saw myself as a tech. My husband is very good at technology. I was this person who would go, honey, and he would be come in and he pretended to be the technology guy. He's like, step aside. And, you know, he'd sit down at my computer and he'd fix it. And he's like, ugh. And then he'd, you know, get up and he'd leave. And so it made me feel like I was less than, you know, like I was a tech flunky. And I would language that too. I was like, oh, well, I'm a tech flunky. I don't know. And I was like, what am I putting out in the universe? If I'm going to be an online business owner, I need to own technology. I don't need to be perfect at it today, but I need to be moving in the direction of being savvy at it. And so lo and behold, it took me 2 years. And I had children at the time who were in, they were like fifth grade, seventh grade, and they were learning technology and they were way ahead of me. You know, they could come in and make corrections and, oh, do this, mom, and do that. But within 3 years, because I had to overcome so many technical barriers with my business, and because my what I wanted to create, my vision for my business was more powerful than my fear and my inability to, you know, I had to sit with my fear of turning this on and speaking to people. You know, like you just have to sit with it, right? You have to say, the person I want to reach is out there and technology is not going to get in my way. I'm going to make it work. And the same was like when I was writing my book and I was in the middle of my book and, you know, of course, limiting beliefs come up like, nobody's going to read this. I'm going to have horrible reviews on Amazon. Like what, you know, like, why am I doing this? And so I had to put a note on my computer, your person who needs to hear this, this is who they are. And, you know, I made a very specific person and I just said, okay, I'm writing the book for you. And I finished the book that way. But so anything I've overcome is like, because there's somebody on the other side, I want to reach, I want to connect with, I want to make a difference with. So it helped me get past that technology barrier that I think a lot of women in our age group have, because like I deal with a lot of women who are, you know, above the age of 40. And I say, don't worry, I'm a former tech flunky. You can do this program. It's, you know, intuitive. We've made it easy for you, but it's, that was and I see people holding themselves back all the time. I mean, you know, I know that's your expertise is helping people get through that. And do you see that a lot? So you see people just making the excuses to stay small or to not engage because it's easier to stay with the excuse than to step into that bigger idea.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I work with people that really not everyone. I do work with some entrepreneurs, but most of the people coming mm-hmm. to my program are not building a business, at least yet. Some of them realize I have a student who is a medium or is a medium, and she ended up creating a program to help people get over their grief from losing somebody they love.
Oh my God, how amazing.
Yeah. Because as a medium, you can only help so many people, right? You can't scale a one-on-one mediumship business. And it created this great community of people who shared this, you know, a tragedy. And, and so, yeah, so some people do that. And she was bold. I mean, and she had worked in kind of a tech environment, so she wasn't scared of anything, but there was a lot of things she hadn't done. And I think she did, you know, we all question ourselves, am I capable of doing this? But she persevered and she was, and I think with anything, if you're looking at what your purpose is, what the outcome is, what you're working towards, and make sure, you know, people call it the why. And if it's bigger than you and it's outside of you, it's for something or somebody else. No matter how big that audience is, it could be an audience of, you know, five. But
right,
as long as you're focused on that, the steps to get there, they don't overwhelm you as much. You know, you're just like, okay, I'll figure out the next one. And she was like that. She was like, okay, I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out. And it might take me a little bit more time than most people. And that's the other thing is, you know, a lot of things we do, we've never done before. So they take us a lot of time. But then I remember when I started doing reels on Instagram, and a lot of people are like, probably what are reels? Who are my listeners? But they're like little videos and you can put little sounds on them and little words on them and stuff. And I resisted doing that for so long. I was like, I don't want to do it. But then like I heard the Instagram algorithm was not like serving your content if you didn't do reels. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do them. They just take me so long. Well, within 2 weeks, I was like doing them like, you know, super simple. And it was just, watched a couple of YouTube videos. And there's so much out there at our fingertips that's free to learn.
Yeah.
And so like anything with technology, I'm like, okay, I can't figure this out. Like what's happening right now, I can't hear out of my left, not microphone, but headphone. And so I'm just like so frustrated. So I was like, right before, we didn't have time at the beginning, but I was like, I'm going to Google what happens when your left headphone goes out, your left ear, because, you know, and now with ChatGPT, which is this artificial intelligence, it'll tell you anything. It's like so good.
I love it.
So, So it's just getting over yourself. It's really what it is.
It is not getting over it. And thinking that there's always somebody that does it better than you or that everybody else does it better than you. That's another big one I hear a lot. And so Yeah, you know what forced me, it was so interesting, is the pandemic. So I put my smoking cessation course online and I had was running some ads to it and stuff. And it was just kind of like sputtering along. And then the pandemic hit. And, you know, like I said, I'm a booked out hypnotherapist. I was booked out 3 months in advance. And in LA, everything shut down in one day. It was like, you know, March, I forget which day, it was like March 21st, 2020. And literally people called and they were just like canceling appointment after canceling appointment. And I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to make a living? I mean, you know, everybody went through this, but I literally, it was just like phone call after phone call. And I was like, I'll see you online. And people are like, oh no, I'll just wait till the pandemic's over. You know, like thinking it was going to be like a month or 2 months, you know, to quit smoking. I can wait a couple of months. And
oh, they probably started smoking again. Some of the people quit.
Yeah, a lot of people did start smoking or started back smoking in the pandemic. So I had to pivot and I came up with some ideas for, like you said, like some communications, like reels and stuff like that, that I could put online that were about the pandemic, about smoking. And what was so exciting, and this, you know, I just want to tell your audience this, you know, if they're sitting there going, you know, should I go for it? Should I take that chance on that next chapter for myself? So I never in a million years. So my course took off during the pandemic because people were stuck out in the middle of nowhere. If they were smokers, I mean, COVID was hitting a lot of smokers pretty hard. And going to see a hypnotherapist was impossible. And my course was affordable, and especially for people way out in the boonies. And so I started getting these sales from people in the Yukon, from people in Italy, people in like all over the world. And then the people started responding saying, wow, I quit smoking. I've been a smoker for 40 years. I didn't think I could buy an online course. And that was just so amazing for me. You know, like that, it was just that you created something that could help somebody that you're never met, that, and so cool. And then I also put my weight management course because I was kind of hemming and hawing and the pandemic was like, okay, everybody's staying at home eating donuts. It's time to put the weight course online. And
yeah. And it's and so funny too, because your mind went to, oh my God. And like,
yeah, it was my end, oh my God,
it's over, you know? And then it opened up actually this whole new world that you can help more people. You can reach further. Your impact is greater. That's so amazing.
It was very uncomfortable. I sat with a lot of discomfort in that month because it was like everything was out of my comfort zone, but I was very, very grateful that I was put through that, as we always are. You know, we don't like stretching, but we sure like being stretched.
Yeah.
You know,
when it's over and we look back.
When we look back and look at our, yeah.
Yeah. So, I wanted to mention before we close that you have a podcast called Thin Thinking, which I think is great.
Thank you. Also,
you've got some kind of a free webinar.
Yeah, it's a weight management masterclass webinar. And we do a weight loss hypnosis session so people can test drive hypnosis, see what it feels like. And it's a great hypnosis session. People write me all the time and say, oh my gosh, I love that session.
This is part two, a little update that Reed and I just recorded in April of 2024. Here it is. We're here for an update with Rita Black. She is getting ready to do her masterclass. When we first recorded this interview, her masterclass wasn't on the schedule in the near term. So we just talked about it generically. But I wanted to bring her back on because I know this masterclass would really help at least some person that's listening. And so I wanted her to come back and talk about what her masterclass is all about. It's free. So it's completely free. So you don't have to pay or anything to get a huge benefit that could potentially help you really. And it's focused on weight loss, right?
It is. It's called Breaking Free, Mastering Your Mindset for Lasting Weight Release. And thank you so much, Lori, just by the way, for having me back. It's so great to see your sunny face.
Yes. Good to catch up. So it's been 10 months, I think, since we last chatted.
It's so good for the soul, you know, it's just really good for the soul. But yeah, so my masterclass. So here's the thing. I think most of your listeners, if they're listening to you, they're smart, right? And most people who struggle with weight think, why I am a smart person, like I know everything there is to know about weight loss, which is true. Like if people have struggled with weight, they know more than their doctors. They know more than a lot of nutritionists, to be honest with you. They know everything there is to know about weight loss. But the problem is, and I forget our initial interview to go how much I got into hypnosis, but you know, really the reason why people struggle with weight is because of the way the mind's designed. Like conscious mind, everybody knows how to lose weight, but the subconscious mind, which is where our beliefs, our habits, our identity, as we discussed, is all housed in this deeper place where even though you might go on some sort of regime or diet or say, okay, you know, April 1st, I'm going to really get focused, we only get so far because subconscious beliefs, blocks, limiting beliefs and habits start to emerge and they don't get changed. You know, I have a little map behind me, but I think this is just audio, right?
No, we do video too.
Okay, cool. Well, if you're listening to this, really only 12% of our mind is the critical analytical part of the mind, the part that is like, I want to go on a diet. I want to lose weight. I want to make this attempt. The other 88% wants to stay the same. And this is the same with any change. And this is while you were talking about atomic habits, like getting into that identity piece, that identity really opens the door to how you see yourself. And that can start to open up the subconscious mind. But hypnosis and what we do in the workshop is we do some hypnosis for weight release. So people get to experience a light hypnosis session that's designed to help them break through, create a new vision of where they want to go, create a new, more powerful inner communication with themselves. Because what happens when we struggle with our weight is we develop a very, I call it the weight struggle cycle because we, you know, even before we begin any sort of weight release, we don't believe in our ability to be successful because we've failed so many times. So we're bringing with us an old identity, an old belief that is just, so we'll get to a certain, we'll get to Thursday and we'll be like, oh, this is too hard. I'll just start again on Monday. And we get into the start over, it's called a start over cycle. And it's actually cognitive. It is, you know, do good on a diet, go on the diet, which is sort of this external concept rather than mastering something or going on something, which kind of means you're going to fall off it.
Yeah.
Eventually.
It's actions versus the who.
Internal shift.
Who am I that takes those actions?
Correct. Absolutely. 100%. So if Mary goes on a diet on Monday, oh, I'm feeling overweight, I want to lose weight. You know, 2 weeks later, she's at a party, she eats the cookie. Oh, I blew it. You know, I'll just start again on Monday.
When we talked 10 months ago, I shared an example of one of my students who had lost 60 pounds when she shifted her identity of like, instead of being this person who cooks and that's who she is and she loves these big meals and blah, blah, blah. What I discovered, she came to my retreat, and when we were talking, she shifted from, I'm this person who cooks these large meals, and, you know, I just don't want to change because my family loves that, and that's who I am. She changed to, her number one desire in retirement was to travel. And she became
very cool.
The identity of, I want to travel. I can't travel when I'm overweight. I want to get rid of this weight. And then the weight comes off because that's not who she is anymore.
Priorities have shifted. I call it moving house. You move from one house to another house. It's a different framework and a different who you are and your the identity, but also the structure. So she shifted all of that. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So in the masterclass, we really look at what are the main three subconscious barriers that can really be repositioned very, very quickly. Like you just mentioned, that's like a huge shift, that identity piece that can be shifted. And so that they can get, you know, your listeners can get access to the deeper part of their mind so that they can begin to really move forward with not just velocity, but with confidence, because I think a lot of that weight struggle cycle, which is, you know, focus, be good to a certain point, fall off, eat a bunch, promise to be good on Monday or you know, at the beginning of the month, gain some weight back, then start over and then do it again, and then start over and do it again. The average person who ultimately goes on to success has lost and gained over 250 pounds over their life, right? So it's like a huge, it's such a huge struggle world people get into, even though they're brilliant and smart and highly functioning in their lives. Most people are thinking about this 80% of their waking life, right? Like, why can't I do this? Why can't I get it? Because we feel it. It becomes the soup we swim in. So How do we move house? Like you said, how do we shift, you know, create a new framework so that you can step out and move forward? So in the masterclass, that's what we get into. We get into mindset stuff. I don't really talk about food or exercise because that is, you got to start internally and work, you know,
that's out. The Band-Aid.
Yes, it is. But the
because the wound never heals.
Well, it's crazy because there's all these diet drugs now out on the market. And I'm not dissing those because some of those things have been very effective for some people. But the problem always comes back to, irregardless of if you go on a diet, even if you get gastric bypass, if you, I have so many students who have done Ozempic or Wegovy or whatever these products are, and they release weight. But then they're like, what if this gets taken away from me? What if my insurance company stops paying for this? It's very expensive right now. And they still don't have that confidence that they can do that on their own because this external thing has, you know. So we, irregardless of what you are doing that's maybe working for you, whether it's fasting or eating a low carb diet or working out with a trainer, those things are all helpful, but it's who you are and how you communicate with yourself, because usually that piece is missing. And it is that, if you think about any other place like Lori in your life and your clients' lives where you're successful, where you are masterful, you stick with yourself in those moments that are tough and you don't give up. But we get in the habit of disconnecting from ourselves. Like if we eat something that doesn't look right or isn't perfect, or, you know, we go off the diet, we're like, okay, well, we blew it. I'll start again tomorrow. And we don't learn a thing about our behavior, so that there's no self-correcting model. Like mastery is built on very small self-corrections over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But the diet industry has removed all that. They've focused us on, be good on this diet and you will lose 20 pounds and you will ride off into the sunset on that unicorn and, you know, it will be all awesome for you. But I mean, it's a long-term, lifelong journey, which is a hero's journey. It's an amazing journey, but it starts with taking that first step of believing in yourself and believing in who you are and really what you're doing and having that vision of that you are becoming. You and I were talking about identity 5 years from now, you at your ideal weight, what are you doing? Like, how are you being a leader in your life? I mean, you know, I have students in my world who released all of their weight 15 years ago. They've kept that weight off for 15 years. And they've become leaders out in their life in the area of weight management. Like they're teaching exercise or they're doing something. And it, when you go on a journey that, no matter what that journey is, but like with weight management, for a lot of people that I see, these long-term success stories, it changes everybody in their life. When you focus on something and you stick with yourself and you become that hero and you cross those bridges that you have to cross, those tough times, people are watching. And so I say, look at that 5 year out there, you, not just, you know, you at your ideal weight and on the beach in your skinny bikini or whatever, you know, but you who has maintained their weight for 5 years out in your life, doing what you're doing, how will the world have changed because you went on that journey? So powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
it is powerful. And I also think what comes to me is if you're successful in one thing, you can be successful in this.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people use the work that we do inside my masterclass and in my program to, because once you get that inner communication piece, you can move it over into finances. You can move it over into the work and asking, you know, I've had clients who found the love of their life or asked for, you know, got a better job or asked for a raise because of really building that confidence piece within themselves. We really look at shifting into a learner's identity, which is what we're not usually doing when we're trying to lose weight. You know, we see ourselves as a struggler or a dieter, and I'm not very good at this thing, rather than, oh, this is about learning. This is about discovery and really those little moments that all get added up together.
Yeah.
You know, those, it's just like we were talking about business. Like it's all those fail moments where you're like, oh, why am I doing this? But you sit with yourself and you get to the other side and then you're like, oh, yes, this is why I'm doing this. And you get that win, but you got to stick with yourself in those moments. And with the diet thing, we're so conditioned to disconnect, give up on ourselves and go, oh, blew it. Let me go find another diet. Let me go find that answer outside of me, because we don't trust that the answer is in us. And the answer is really, truly within us.
So you had said when we last talked, you actually do a hypnosis session. You give a little sample in the masterclass.
Yeah.
I think that's worth going just to experience that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are like, oh my God, I moved because we go, it's light. So like, I know some people are like, oh, this hypnosis sounds scary. It's a relaxed mind technique that allows more of your mind to become open to ideas of change. It's super fun. We have a good time.
Tell me how long it is and is it on Zoom?
It's super easy. So I know you're going to put the link in your show notes. Mm-hmm. And when you sign up, you'll get notifications. It's a link. You go to the link. It isn't Zoom, but it's a masterclass platform. And I'm going to have two on Tuesday, April 16th. But if you can't make that, we have one on Thursday. And then we'll have a Saturday class. But you can go in and you sign up and then you'll figure out the time. It's easy. It usually ends up around 90 minutes, but we get to the hypnosis about an hour in.
Probably do a little bit of Q&A at the end.
Do Q&A. I absolutely answer everybody's questions. No questions are left unanswered. We are getting into those pieces, that those subconscious blocks that just need to be removed in order to move forward. And then I also get into the four steps to move forward on your journey of weight mastery. And then, like I said, we'll do a hypnosis session that people love. So I do assure your listeners a good time.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I mean, a lot of people are conditioned to this anyways, with all the people that are selling stuff on the internet now.
Yes.
She does have a program. She offers it at the end of the masterclass, but there is absolutely no obligation and you will get a ton out of her masterclass.
People leave this masterclass and they're like, wow, you've given me so much. I'm just ready to go do this on my own. I feel good. And if you want to dive deeper with me, there is that opportunity as well.
Up to them, right? What they think's right for them. Well, I wouldn't have her here if I didn't know she was fantastic. I don't recommend people that I don't think will actually help somebody or be sleazy about it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lori, for having me on. And if you want to ask me any questions about the masterclass, or if you do sign up for the masterclass, any of those emails that get sent to you, hit reply, it will get to me.
Okay, great. All your contact information will be in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very reachable.
Well, thank you so much. It was so good catching up.
Oh my gosh, this was fantastic. It, like I said, it's good for the soul.
Yes. All right. Bye.
Bye.